Okay. I know some of you have been here for the whole weekend, and some might have come today for the first time. I just want to say welcome to each one of you. And as we share the Word of God this morning, I want to ask you if you have a Bible. If you don't, I will do all the reading for you from here, okay? So you don't have to worry about it. I'm going to be focusing this morning in one gentleman. And his life is described in two verses of the Bible. There is not much being said about him. There is no much intentional writing about this guy. I know that the scripture, whatever it does it with a purpose. But this gentleman here, in two verses were dedicated to him. Yesterday, we spoke about Joseph. And we say that Joseph probably had just about 17 chapters of his life in the book of Genesis. Well, this gentleman today is just two verses. And it's really interesting how much and how condensed the life of someone can be in a very brief and short story about him. Scripture for this morning is in First Chronicle. You know, Chronicle is a very interesting book. The Chronicles are just about names of people. If you want to find a name for a child that you're having, just go to Chronicle. You're going to have all of them there. And they tell you about the different generation and the different families and all of that. But in the middle of all of this in Chronicle, in between all these genealogies, we find the story of the man named Jabez. And 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 and 10 says like this. It says, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou would bless me indeed, and enlarge my territory, and that your hand will be with me, and that you will keep me from evil, that I may not grieve anyone." And the Bible says, to close that wonderful story, that God granted him that which he requested. A few questions we have to ask ourselves today is, what really makes someone more excellent than another person? Jabez, more excellent than his brothers. The first thing is that there was a distinction in his name. There was a distinction in the name that was given to him. And that distinction was not a positive distinction. Today we name our children with names that are fetish and perhaps after someone who have left an impression upon us. My son Patrick is the result of that. Is my wife's uncle, who his name is Patrick. But he's not just an uncle to her. He's the father that she knew. So we give his name based on that gentleman who is a godly man. And he was also not only like her father, but he performed the wedding. He was our marriage officer who did the wedding for us. So we have him very close in our life. So, you know, you people do that. They name their children based on a relationship or other people who have impressed their life. Or perhaps you can see when we were younger, we never had any names like Brittany and some of these, you know, you're soon going to have some Lady Gaga somewhere there. Because people start getting names of artists and, you know, to give their children those names because of the impression that they have left. You know, I hope I don't have a daughter and call her Lady Gaga. In biblical times, the name given to a person often meant the character or the plight in life that he or she might walk. It's very interesting that we can see names like Jacob, deceiver. And then you say, but how did his mother or his father know that he was going to be a deceiver, that he was going to do what he did? And then you have names like Abraham, father of faith. And then you say, who could predict that Abraham was going to be such a faithful guy? And you have different names there. The only name that I remember, there are some others, but like the name of Jesus, God gave it to Mary and said, you're going to call him Jesus because he is what? The Savior of the world. But this one, Jabez, is interesting. Jabez has the distinction of what his name means. To grieve, to be sorrowful. His mother, for whatever reason, chose to memorialize his birth experience by naming her son Jabez, because I bore him in pain. You know, we have many Jabez today. We have Jabez everywhere. We have people in our community and our society that has been born in certain disadvantages, I'll say. And because of that, they still carry that with them. You have people who have been born in the middle of a broken home. And they go to school. And kids will actually mock them and tell them, oh, you don't know your father. Your mom's boyfriend is not your father. That's not your mom. And you have kids who are still wondering how they're going to deal with their own life because they are the son or the daughter of a drunkard. And everybody just made that known to them. Or they have been born in an unmarried relationship. Or perhaps born from a prostitute or from an abuser or a thief. Someone that he has been spending his whole life in jail. And then people walk on the street with those names. They walk on the street with that kind of distinction. That is not helpful to them. Does not help. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't know if you remember that in the Bible time, they used to call people by the place where they were born as well. Like Joseph of Arimathea. You know, you have names of people where they were born. And this is a distinction that people carry in their name. There are some people who, because they are born in a destitute area, they carry that distinction as well. And they feel that they cannot achieve certain things in life because they have been born in that area. You know, I'm going to tell you a short story about myself. When my son Elias was about 3 years old, I took him to the place where I was born. The place where I was born, there is right now nothing there. Not even animals. It was a far area in the country, in my country. I took him to the place. I have pictures about it. Only trees are growing where the house used to be. But it was a wooden house. It was made of clay and you get the piece of wood, you chop them, and you put them in between sticks, and you put them up until you raise it to a point where your head doesn't knock the roof. But that's exactly what happened. Now, the fact that I was born and grew up until I was 7 in that area does not mean that determines where I'm going to be in my future. Because your future is determined by God. Know by your past. And something happened in this man's life. something that took him from pain to glory. And I'm going to tell you today, the only intention we have in this prayer brief facts is to remove your pain and get it into glory, where you can enjoy the life that God has given you and left the past behind, not because you were given a certain name or because you still carry the surname of someone that hurt you in the past. Doesn't mean that this is what you are. It is said that the difference between the ordinary and the extraordinary is the willingness to do the extra. That's the difference. And I believe that Jabez was willing to do the extra. He was willing to do more for God. He was willing to place himself in a position where not just to receive blessing, but to bless others with the blessing that he received. Jabez owned the distinction of being more honorable than those around him. Being more honorable does not mean that you have more possession, or doesn't mean that you drive the best car in town. It doesn't mean also that your bank account is larger than other people's bank account. Being more honorable than others has a different meaning for us as Christians. It carries a heavier meaning for us who fear the Lord. Being more honorable speaks to the character, responsibility, and respect of other person. That's what it means. Jabez went from being a pain to being more honorable. You know, I remember going to school for a whole year with a burst shoes. Kids used to tell me, your shoes are hungry, you have to feed them, because the front was open. Seriously. Yeah. They used to, hey, you need to feed them, and they used to do this to me. But none of them could match the grade that I had. I can tell you that. I'm not bragging. None of them could do it. Now, how those shoes got burst? Simple. As a child, you want to play. So the shoes could not hold the weight of, you know, the pressure that you put playing. And I started playing. And my father told me plainly, I'm not buying another shoes for you. I was just about 12 years old at that time. And for a 12 years old boy, going to school with a burst shoes is very embarrassing. Because at that time, you already start looking on girls and girls start looking on you. Oh, you didn't know that? I thought you knew. I'm sorry. I didn't want to give too much of information to anybody. But that's how it is. As a matter of fact, it started earlier than that. But it happens. The fact that you are more honorable than others does not rely on what you have or what you don't have. We all have three God-given inner needs, which is the need for love, for significance, and for security. The prayer of Jabez was also a distinctive prayer. And I want to talk to you about this prayer because it's not just a regular prayer. There are only few prayers that have been written in the Bible, word by word, and this is one of them. Jabez was not a long prayer guy. He could not pray for half an hour. He made a simple prayer, but he told God, this is what I want you to do for me. Lord, I want you to bless me. I have the need of love. I have been rejected in my society. My brothers and my mother and my parents had rejected me from the very day I was born. because I was causing pain to them. Because I was not the wanted child at the moment. I came in a moment when they were not expecting me. And he made a prayer. He made a prayer because of the need of love. And when he made that prayer, he was making sure that God will know that he was aware of his situation. So during this exhaustive list of genealogy, God stopped to point out a man named Jabez and his prayer. God called Jabez more honorable than his brothers. Why? Because he was a man of prayer. That's what makes somebody more honorable than his brethren. Do you think that they are better church member than others? No. They are church member that prays more than others. They are children in the house that pray more than others. They are not better than one the other. But God will honor their prayer. God will answer it. God will respond. A man who grew up with a deficit in his life from his very name. He prayed a prayer that God's attention. He prayed a prayer that hit the mark so much that God granted his request. That's what makes a man more honorable. The Bible doesn't just say Jabez prayed a good prayer. It literally quotes the prayer word by word. There are obviously some real key in this prayer. Now we're going to look into those key. First one, the prayer say, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed." What is a blessing? Is the first question. What is a blessing? It's an specific gift from God for a specific time and a specific purpose to bring increase in your life. It is God's nature to bless his people. Let's talk about at least three blessings. One first was Abraham. Abraham, the Bible says, "I will make you a great nation." That was a blessing to Abraham. Today we are Abraham's children. Not only us, but even the Muslim. They are Abraham's children. We are Abraham's children. "I will bless you and make you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing." That's what God told Abraham. Jacob. And he say, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he say unto him, and he's talking to the angel, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Jacob was aware that God alone could bless somebody. He was aware that God alone could even change the plight that he has to walk in life. He was aware of that. That's why he didn't let go. So Jabez, perhaps maybe he knew this story of Jacob and the angel. And he said, "I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me." I don't know how many of you have wrestled with God, asking for a blessing. But don't let him go. Just hold on to him. There are times that life seems to be desperate and we seem to be losing it. We seem to be not getting it. But if you let go, then that's when you lose everything. Hold on to Jesus. He will bless you. He will prosper you. As Christian, he also offer a blessing. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 say, "Blessed be the God and Father of all of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Wow. With every spiritual blessing. He has blessed us already. So if we have not received it, it's because we are not claiming the promises that God had made. We have to claim those promises. Blessing is not just for us, but for those around us. Blessing is a spiritual prosperity. You know, sometimes people measure blessing based on material possession and how good you're doing at work and how much money you're making. And how, this increase that you got in your job and all that's not just blessing. You know, Satan can bless people. Yeah, he can do it. He can give people possession. But it's an exchange of something. Well, the blessing that God gave you is an exchange of something, your heart. All he wants is your heart. All he wants is you to serve him. So Jabez prayed for God's best in his life. He said, bless me in thee. In other words, bless me a lot. I just don't need a small blessing where I have to be coming back to you all the time. Just give me enough. Jabez was an interesting man. He was, just give me enough. You know, sometimes we are afraid to ask God for a lot. You know why? Because we limit God. We limit God based on our own limitation. And because we cannot manage the life that we have, we believe that if God gave us more, we will not be able to manage it. But I can tell you something. If he gives you something, it's because he believes you can do it. It's exactly with the trials. When you get trials, when you get problem in your life, don't think that it's just because God has abandoned you. It's because he knows that you can handle those trials. It's because he knows that there is a power in you that will overcome. Now, the second point on this prayer was, he say, enlarge my territory. And I want to talk to you about it. This is the part of significance. This is where Jabez is now asking indeed for some material possession. Okay? He's asking for a better job. He's asking for some kind of ways of making himself, you know, with some commodity. Let me use that word. And then he say, this is Jabez here. He say, this is taking the limitation of God in your life. This is saying, God, I am tired of limiting what you can do through me. Lord, get me out of my comfort zone that I may enter into a great measure of your blessing. Now, I'm going to talk about building your capital. First of all, I identify four. There are more. Identify four capital that you have to build. First one is your social capital, your friends. What do you do with your friends? First of all, our social capital, you know, if you enter in Facebook, Facebook by no means is your social capital. This is just a social network. Well, they say that your network can be your net worth, your net worth. Now, Facebook is not the place where you make the friends that you need to keep you afloat, you know? That's just acquaintance and quick communication. Hi, how are you? Happy anniversary, happy birthday, happy this, happy that. That's all about Facebook. But your social capital has to do with nurturing your friends. It has to do with raising new friends. It has to do with you becoming friend to other people. When you are in the business of building your social capital, you are going to be mindful, first of all, of the type of friends that you have, and second, of the type of friend that you are. You know, some people are like this. They will only call you when they need you. And then you will say, but is that guy my friend? Because he only calls me when he has a problem. Every time the phone rings and he calls, it's just to tell me that he has a problem. It's either he's in the hospital or he's in the police or just his car just broke down or something happened. Hey, some people like that. Now there are other people who will call you to tell you, oh, I'm here at the airport, I'm going to Japan. The other one will go, oh, I'm here, I'm going to Russia. Oh, I'm going to the Dominican Republic. They will be telling you all the pleasure that they are having. There are some other people who will call you Say, I'm just calling to find out how you are doing. Now, you need to analyze yourself. Which one of those do you mostly use? How do you care for others? How do you care for those who are around you? This has to do with your social capital, how you build that, your significance. Life makes sense when you have good friends, but it makes more sense when you are friend to others. So you have to start retaining your friends. You need to start making plans for people who have influenced your life and to keep their friendship. Make new friends. Sometimes it's good to join a club. And I'm going to be specific to you. Sometimes we say, well, I don't have any friends. I don't have anybody. And usually when people don't have friends, they find it very hard to witness as well. And that's what is happening to our society today. We can't witness because we have not built our social capital. If you build your social capital, you join a club, let's say a sport club, you go and play baseball or you bowling or something or whatever you're doing, you're going to meet new friends there, new people that later might become your friends as well. And this is very important that we do it. The second capital we have to do is to build our financial capital. There are four of them I have here. Financial capital. You have to establish an economic plan. Even if the United States didn't establish one, but we have to do it personally. Okay? Yeah, we have to do it. There is, if the whole country collapses, you can't afford to collapse as well. So you need to establish your plan. You need to establish how you're going your life. With little or much, you got to establish your life, your financial capital. It's very important that you budget your life out. And when I say budget your life, it's because some people just budget their money. But budgeting your money makes very little sense. You have to budget your life. And I'm going to give you the reason. There are certain things that you have that has carry certain value that they are non-financial, non-monetary stuff that you have. And those things are very important. And I'm going to mention maybe two or three. Integrity. Honesty. If you lose any of those, you're going to lose all the money you have, plus your friends. So you have to budget not only the money, you have to budget your life. You need to know how you're going to use those things and use them well. Now, it is necessary that you only spend in what you need. This is the time when we are to be living in a point of austerity. Do you know the word austerity? Austerity is the new word in Greece. When they went the default, Greece went into a default, the government could not pay the bills. They have to live now in austerity. Simple mean that we are only going to spend what we need and for the essential services. There are times that, well, let me give you an example. Last week, I got an email from the Time Warner cable company telling me that my bill is going to be now $125 when I was just paying $67. Tell me exactly what I did. Huh? I called them and said, I don't need it. No, it's serious. I might need it because we're living in a snow place. We don't know when something is going to happen with the weather and so. Now, I have internet. I get all the news through telephone and everywhere. I don't need it. This is money that I'm going to need to pay the school fee for my children, to books and stuff. And seriously, you have to build your financial your financial capital, and it's not just thinking that you're going to get more money. No, building your financial capital is managing well what you got. I still on the topic of Jabez being a more honorable than his brethren. You need to build your financial capital. You have to be able to help your family, your brothers, your sister. Whenever you get to that point, everybody is going to look out for you. And guess what happened? When you build your financial capital, then your social capital increase, because you're going to have more friends because of your money. Everybody wants to have your telephone number. Yes, Brother Hugh, can you give me your phone number? Oh, I just want to talk to you. About what? Oh, don't worry, I just want to call you. The next capital that you have to build, well, let me say something else on that financial capital. I say you have to bow your to life, but very important, you have to help others. And also, you have to have fun. F-U-N. And I'm going to explain to you what happened. Whenever I do the budget for my family, I always do those two items. Help somebody and budget, even if it's $20, just for fun. To go to the ice cream shop and buy some ice cream for the kids. It doesn't have to be $1,000. I say $20 or $10. Whatever is cheaper. You have to. And let me tell you why. Because life is already bitter. Life is already tough. And if you are going to go in that path of life, of bitterness, and just putting your elbow on the table and say, man, we don't have anything, then it's going to carry the same spirit into your children, into your family. And you don't want to do that. You need to make sure that you have something there that they will enjoy. Oh, you know, we can't afford this. But yes, on Monday evening when the sun is hot, then we say we're going to the ice cream shop and buy some ice cream or do something. You have to plan to help somebody and to have fun. Life is short, and if you don't enjoy it here, you certainly will enjoy it in heaven. But you know, Christ wants us to enjoy life. If we're going to enjoy it there, then we need to start enjoying it from here. The next thing is that we have to build our intellectual capital. When I say intellectual capital, it means that we have to keep educating ourselves. That doesn't mean that if you have to go now and run and say, well, Pastor said I have to do a PhD. No, don't get me wrong. You have to read. You have to talk to people who will help you understand life better. You have to get to ask questions and research issues that are happening in your own life and to know better. For example, my son last night, after he's been congested, he has asthma, that's the little one. We give him the medication, nebulizer. But he came and he sat down in my lap after and then his knee was shaking. Trust me, last night I was so upset with the whole medical field. Because I said, why they have to build that, to make it like that? And I started thinking, is there something else that can help my child instead of giving him this drug, this steroid? And I started researching. Yeah, in Google you can find everything. I started researching. I started looking for. I got a bunch of information. I got things that we could do. And we're going to start implementing some of that. But don't just take it from people. Don't just believe everything that people say or whatever you hear on the road. You have to build your intellectual capital by getting proper information. You cannot live a life of assumption. People assume things because they don't know, because they don't understand, because they have not learned yet. So don't live a life of assumption based on what others say. Those days are gone. You have to build your intellectual capital. And finally, you have to build your spiritual capital. Your spiritual and emotional capital. I made a combination of them so we can expand it. The way to build that is through reading your Bible, attending church, believe it or not, it helps your spiritual capital. The Bible says that we should not stop congregating. There is something in when we come together. There is something in among us when the Spirit of God moves among His people, when we are together. You know? And this is very important that we do it in order to build our spiritual capital. Go to a mission trip. You might say, well, you know, I don't have the money. Well, start building some of those capital I already mentioned. But go to a mission trip. Do something about the mission. And you're going to see how other people are having it. You have this church here, this fellowship hall. I can tell you the name of thousands of churches around the world that don't even have a place like this to worship. So you go to other places and you're going to say, wow, we are really blessed. We are really favored by the Lord because He has done this for us. Join a ministry in your local church and witness to others. If you want to build that spiritual capital, you have to do those things. Read your Bible, attend church, take a mission trip or something. It doesn't have to be overseas. There are many who need us right now in the United States. Join a ministry in your local church and witness to others. There is something about witnessing to others, and I'm going to explain it to you. Whenever you feel the responsibility and the burden that your life has to be a model of Christianity to others, you tend to be more spiritual. You tend to take your experience more serious. And then if you are witnessing to somebody, if you are doing a Bible study to somebody, if you are sharing the word with you tend to be more in depth into what you are doing, simply because you have to give that person the right impression in your spirituality. And I'm not talking about fake spirituality or just putting a mask on you because you're going to go and do a Bible study. I'm talking about this the real thing. So that was the second part of Jabez's prayer. And the third part was that he said that your hand will be with me. Meaning, I want to feel secure. You know, it is important. And I will say this. For men, it might not mean too much. But for women, security is paramount. They like to feel secure. They like to feel that this is something that is, they are okay. Even the house and the windows are secure. They like to feel that there is money to in the bank to buy food for the kids. They like to feel that they are not going to be robbed or something. They like to feel that way. So, but Jabez was saying, hey, this is how I want to feel too. I didn't have a mother to model these things to me or my brother. So I want to feel secure because I feel very insecure with all the stuff that are surrounding me. When the hands of God is on you, it is appearing to everyone around you. When God is protecting you, it's appearing to everyone. The word that he used here, your hand will be with me, it has an indication of power, means and direction. Of power because the power of God is given to us as a promise. The Bible says in 2 Timothy, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And it means it's because he will supply every need that we have. and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. In terms of direction, when he was asking God that his hands will be with him to direct his path, it's like a spiritual GPS. The Bible says in Psalm 37, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young, and now I am old, and yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, or his seed begging bread. Because he feels secure. He wants to feel security. He wants to feel that his household is secure. He wants to feel that there is a ocean of the power of the Holy Spirit in his life. And also he wants to feel that, yes, God is supplying for every need. You would keep me from evil. That was the fourth part of his prayer. Sin doesn't just affect us. It affects those around us. He said, keep me from trouble. Keep me from sin. Keep me from my enemy. Keep me from sorrow and sickness. Jabez has grown up with the title, one who caused pain. But he knew that God could set him free from that level. Matthew chapter 6 says, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us. That was the prayer that Jabez was making. God, deliver me from this. In conclusion, Jabez's name stood out from among those endless genealogy. He was not a great prophet or a preacher. He was not a wise ruler or a great nation. He was not a famous on the field of battle, but he was remembered because he prayed. I don't know exactly what you want to be remembered for, but it would seem from the text that his brethren rejected him and were not noble, men of character. Jabez overcame his name and his family problem by turning to God in prayer and asking for his blessing. Jabez was blessed simply because he refused to allow any obstacle, any person, any opinion, any experience in the past to get between him and the beauty of the hands of the Lord. God granted him his request. That is what makes a man more honorable than his brethren. He prayed and God answered him. The power of God can overcome the liability of your past. The power of God can change the way you see your past. I want to pray with you this morning. I want to say thank you for also having invited me to the church for this weekend. And I hope that next time I come, you don't have so much food. So I will not put weight on this. You know, I pray for a blessing. I say to the Lord, enlarge my territory. And again, I tell you, I have to be careful with these people here in Joy of Troy. They will fat you. Thank you so much. And let us ask the Lord to bless us and bless us indeed. My prayer is that he will bless this church, that he will expand the capacity of the church. He will enlarge the membership of the church. And he will also bless you in an individual way, that your family, your friends, your neighbor will definitely say, this gentleman or this woman, this lady is more honorable than anyone around this side. Let us live for the Lord that we serve. Let us honor him in our life, and I'm sure that he will supply for all your needs. May God bless you, and let us bow our head as we pray. Gracious Father, we thank you today. We thank you for the blessing of having brought us to this place, this morning, and we ask, Lord, that you will continue to guide us and bless us. Lord, we have the needs of love. We have the needs of security, and also the need for substantial means. We ask, Father, that you will provide all of them. But Father, we put at your feet right now our past, the things that are haunting us, even the name that some of us carry, the places where some of us were born, the family where some of us grew up with. And we ask, Lord, that if we ever have anything to regret from those things, today we will look up to you and say, Lord, bless me and bless me in thee. Enlarge my territory. Protect me from evil and from harming anyone. And we pray, Lord, that you will answer according to your divine purpose that you have for each one of us. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you.